Think Like a Millionaire, Module 7, Be Smart with Money, with Dr. Steve G. Jones.
Hey, Megan, this is Module 7 of Cracking the Millionaire Mind. Module 7, it's called Be Smart with Money. Welcome back. Welcome to Module 7. Two modules left, this one and Module 8. So I'm going to pack a lot of information in these last two modules to make sure that I leave you with something very powerful. Now, in this module, let's jump right in. We're talking about being smart with money. You've got to be smart with money. The millionaire realizes that it's not about how much you make, but what you do with it. And what you do with it often determines how much you save, how much it grows, etc. Millionaires efficiently utilize their time and money to build passive income. Delayed gratification is something that all millionaire minds understand well. Everyone who's millionaire-oriented, everyone who has the mind of a millionaire, meaning all millionaires and all of those who are well on their way to becoming a millionaire, all of them understand the idea of delayed gratification. Most people who are millionaires didn't start out that way. They didn't inherit it. Most millionaires worked their way up to it. Some did it by just everyday jobs. They just saved really well or invested really well. Some did it by making major leaps. And some did it by pure luck. You may be any one of those categories or a combination of any of those categories. You know, I find the harder I work, the luckier I get, as the saying goes. Some people who think they're just getting lucky doing something, well, they wouldn't have that luck if they weren't in the right place at the right time. When you prepare yourself for an opportunity, and then the opportunity presents itself, and you're able to take advantage of the opportunity, it may appear as luck to you, but really it's all part of your effort, what you've done to help make that possible. So, millionaires understand the value of spending wisely and creating a budget. Spending wisely and creating a budget. And you may not think that a budget should be part of the equation, but it is. Now, I want to introduce you to a fascinating book that I didn't write myself. I don't get any royalties from this. If you buy it, I don't make a dime. But I've read it a few times. Even though it was originally written in the 90s, I believe, it's still timeless advice. That's a book called The Millionaire Next Door. It opened my eyes. I wasn't a millionaire when I first read it, when it first came out. And it opened my eyes to the idea of millionaires having a budget. What a crazy idea, I thought, a millionaire having a budget. Millionaires spend extravagantly, don't they? They buy whatever they want, don't they? They do anything they want at any time, right? Well, that's what I used to think until I read the book. And many people who are in the millionaire category, their net worth is $1 million or above. Many people in that category live on a budget. They spend wisely and they budget themselves. And they also budget their time. They budget their time and money because they respect it. And that's how they got there in many cases, by having those good senses about time and money, by understanding how it's all very valuable. People who are millionaire oriented are thinking about ways to increase their wealth. Now, it doesn't mean that you're pursuing whatever you're pursuing just to get wealthy, but when you have wealth, what do you want to do? At the very least, you want to protect it. And more importantly, you want to expand it. At a certain point, your money can start working for you. Initially, you're going to work for money, but eventually, your money is going to work for you to produce more money. Now, you've got to guide that money through investments and sometimes through lack of investment, sometimes knowing when not to invest. But that's what's going to lead to increasing your wealth. And there's nothing wrong with that. Having money and getting more money with the money you have, using it for investments, that is something very powerful and wonderful. And if you don't do that, what you're going to find is that due to inflation, your money can become worth less and less and less if you don't have some way for it to grow on its own. So millionaires look into new opportunities and constantly improve their financial situation by evaluating what works and what doesn't work. When's a good time to invest? When's a good time to get out? When's a good time to buy a house? When's a good time to rent a house? They look at things like this. So a willingness to change and be open to things is a major factor in cultivating the smarts, if you will, that you're going to need to have more and more money. Now, again, this is not about greed. This is not about doing things outside of your passion to get money. This is not about pursuing money just for the sake of money. In other words, this is about respecting the money that you do have and wanting to increase it. So people who are millionaires or oriented toward becoming millionaires understand the difference between wants and needs. A wealthy person got that way by living usually below their means. Isn't that fascinating? I used to think that millionaires, as I've said, live extravagantly and spend on everything they want. Most millionaires got there by living below their means, by spending less than they could, by saving, by investing. They save money by putting away little by little and watching it grow. And it's difficult to build wealth without a budget. You create one and you stick to it. People who are millionaire-oriented look for ways to minimize unnecessary expenses. So make it your business to understand all of the ways to cut expenses. Nothing about a millionaire mind is frivolous. People who are millionaires are not frivolous by and large. Now, occasionally you'll see a person who inherited a lot of money or won the lottery or received a lot of money by becoming a celebrity overnight, and they really don't understand or value money, and they become frivolous with it. If you are frivolous with money, money can become a fickle friend. It can turn on you. You want to make sure that you respect money. Just like anything else, using the law of attraction, if you want more of what you have, respect what you have. If you don't respect it, it's going to leave. You don't want that to happen. What you want to have happen is something very positive, something wonderful, which is money inviting all of its friends. More money. That's what's going to allow you to keep up with inflation. That's what's going to allow you to increase your net worth. And that's what's going to allow you to be comfortable as you continue to move forward in life. So before making a purchase or signing up for some sort of automatic payment of any kind, ask yourself whether or not you really need to have that expense. Now, having said that, I also want you to realize that once you have the ability, buying quality is very powerful. If you can buy a $300 pair of boots that's going to last 10 years and be in great condition that whole 10 years versus buying a $100 pair of boots every year for 10 years, well, you have saved $700 by buying the $300 pair of boots. They seem more expensive, but actually they're less expensive because they don't have to be replaced. Another thing that people who respect money are thinking of constantly: buying things of value, not buying things that are poorly made, cheaply made, that are going to need to be replaced on a regular basis, but buying things that are going to last, even if they seem to cost a little more, in the long run, they don't cost nearly as much as something that costs less initially, because you're not buying the same thing. You're buying something that needs to be replaced. So in most cases, if you put a little thought into something, you'll be able to save yourself from reducing your wealth. Reducing your wealth is not the goal here. Increasing your wealth is, or at least maintaining it and not losing wealth. You'll find ways to avoid reducing your wealth, and in some cases, increasing your wealth over time by not making purchases that are not necessary. The boots example can be applied to a lot of things. It can be applied to automobiles. It can be applied to houses. Sometimes it can be applied to careers. Sometimes you may invest a little bit, you get a little bit of training doing a career that if you had invested a little bit more time and money into a quote-unquote better career, meaning something that'll produce more money and make you feel more fulfilled over time, then you're going to get a better return on that. It seems like more time and money initially, and it is, but the results far outweigh that. So I want you to start thinking like this. Think like a winner. Think like a millionaire. Think like a person who is making a plan for the long term and not just looking for short-term results. Now, I'm a good example of someone who lives below their means. I don't buy things that I don't need. Now, some of my friends do, and I salute that. Some of my friends have two cars or five cars or even more, and that's fine. That's what they want to do. That's fine. But I'm a great example of someone who lives below their means. I have one car. I did have two cars at one time, but they were both used cars. This was back in the 80s, and I think they each cost me just a little bit of money. I think my first car cost $4,000, got it used, and my second car cost about $600, but it was a quality car. It was a well-made car, and it lasted for quite some time. But nowadays, since leaving the 80s, I buy one car at a time. I have one car, and that's it. And so by doing that, I'm living well below my means. I'm able to make my money work for me because the way I figure it, I can only drive one car at a time. I'm just one person. I'm not going to drive more than one car at a given time. So I own one car. I make sure it's a quality car, a car that's going to last a long time, a car that's not going to lose too much value. Cars always lose value unless they're older collectibles, which I don't collect, but they otherwise always lose value, and that's fine, but I make sure I minimize that. And I also make sure it's a car that's going to make me feel good about myself. But I have one car. So that's one of the ways in which I live below my means. I could have multiple cars, but I choose not to. A millionaire mind, a person oriented toward being a millionaire, or a person who is already a millionaire, they place priority on securing their financial freedom. Things such as retirement plans and investing in a reliable return on investment plan are worth having. Putting your money into something that's going to produce more money. Having investments that are going to yield more than you initially put into them. Putting away money in a retirement plan is great because the taxes are deferred. So you're able to grow money without having to worry about taxes. Perfectly legal, perfectly wonderful. Now, I didn't always have the ability to do that. At a certain point, I was using every penny I made just to make sure I kept on living. And that's okay if you're in that situation, because things are going to change if you continue to keep this positive, powerful millionaire mindset. The more you invest in your future, the sooner you're going to be able to not have to work for money. You're going to be able to retire if you want to, or to just cherry pick, just to do the things that you want to do. So always be patient and avoid investing in risky stocks or anything like that, or trusting your money to someone who's promising you some kind of get-rich-quick idea. That stuff does work from time to time, but I would never advise that you do that, because there's a perfectly wonderful way to do it in which you can get your money to grow that's in a safe and consistent way. Also, if you train yourself to grow money in this way, you're going to have the discipline needed to grow more money in that way. If you're always looking for the quick fix, oh, what can I do? What can I do? How can I get money right away? You're going to find yourself caught up in a pattern that's really potentially destructive. So what you should do, in my opinion, my advice to you, is to grow your money in a reliable and steady way. Look into IRAs, talk with a financial planner. Even if you just have a handful of money, talk to a financial planner. They can give you powerful advice. They can give you free advice so that you can solidify that bright future. Secure your financial freedom by insuring all of your assets, and also always look for powerful investments. Always be smart when it comes to taxes and deductions and expenditures, and ways that you can, well within the law, make sure that your money works for you. And one of the concepts that I've been talking about is putting your money to work for you so that you don't have to work for your money eventually. So aside from simply securing your future, you can learn to generate passive income by making smart money moves. There are many ways to start creating sources of income that continue to bring in money without you having to do anything after the initial work. These include writing books, investing in a solid business, purchasing real estate and renting it out, recordings and images and so forth that you have the rights to, of course, or that you have been granted the rights to. Either you have the rights because you created them, or through a contract you have been given the rights, creating an affiliate marketing program, and so on. The list is endless. There are a lot of ways that you can do something one time and profit forever. And the more you learn, the more ways you'll find of generating income that requires little to no continuous effort on your part. Now, people with a millionaire mind, they understand the financial impact of credit. So you've heard the term, don't bite off more than you can chew. This is embedded into the mind of people who are wealthy. They understand that if they dig a hole that they're not able to climb out of, well, it may bring instant gratification, but they may suffer later. I remember hearing a story about Simon Cowell, who became famous for critiquing people who sing and also developing singing acts, getting behind people who sing and helping further their careers. And he told a story of a point in his career where he had to give up his Porsche and move back in with his parents. His career seemed to be at an end, and I started looking into him and looking up things on him, and found out that he had recently purchased a $15 million house in Beverly Hills. I believe that was the price, if the source that I looked at was accurate. Obviously, he had turned things around a little bit. Since having to give up his Porsche and move back with his parents, he was able to turn things around. He mentioned in the interview that he has decided to only pay cash for things. So my understanding is that he turned it around in a big way. He was able to pay cash for that $15 million house. So turning things around is a big part of getting your life organized to think and act and do things like a millionaire. Millionaires understand the financial impact of credit. He had apparently overextended himself. He decided to actually let go of the concept of credit, apparently, and just pay cash. That's one way to do things. You don't have to do it that way. The idea is avoiding biting off more than you can chew, avoiding getting in over your head. People who are millionaire-oriented understand that if they dig a hole they're not able to climb out of, it may bring instant gratification, but later on there's going to be a price to pay. So always be aware of your credit and understand how much you can afford. Having good credit can save you a lot of money because it can be used to your advantage. But always use it, as with any other tool, use it in the appropriate way. Now, I want to be clear that I am not a financial planner. I have zero credentials in the financial world. I don't have any financial certificate or anything like that. I'm just sharing with you what works for me and what's worked for other people. I'm not telling you what to do or how to do it. I'm sharing with you things that I feel will work and have worked for other people. So you can take that to heart if you want to, or perhaps you have your own financial ideas. But the overall idea I want to share with you is that you must pay attention to your money. You must pay attention to finances. If you leave this to someone else, which, by the way, medical doctors are notorious for, if you leave this to someone else and you don't manage it, then you're going to find that maybe it's not there when you go to look for it. Also, people who are suddenly successful are notorious for this. People who are celebrities, they put their trust in other people. People who start generating a lot of money suddenly tend to find someone to figure all this out because so much is coming in, they don't know what to do with it. So they find someone else who is a quote-unquote professional. Well, I want to tell you that you must take some personal responsibility for your finances, become educated about them just like everything else. That's what millionaires do. You've got to understand what's going on if you want to maintain your money and grow more. Now, in the final module, module 8, we're going to talk about being a fearless leader, having the fearless leader mentality. That's going to propel you forward. With all this information, you may be developing some fears. You may be thinking, oh my goodness, I've got to do this and that. I've got all these responsibilities. Well, I want to tell you that you've got to let go of that fear and you've got to move forward. And module 8 is going to share with you how to do that. So join me in module 8 as we talk about the fearless leader mentality. I'm Dr. Steve G. Jones, hoping you have an outstanding day.